Cowboy Nation, how the hell are you? Another great show here, Steve-O. Steve-O to my right and Rodney to my left here. How you guys doing?
I'm proud you got that right. Matter of fact, I was going to have you hold up right hand, left hand before
Sometimes he gets a little confused, man. It's a great day here. We got a lot of stuff to go over. Obviously, the Cowboys are, you know, national headlines forever. But we got some other important things that we're going to handle here in a couple minutes.
Man, I am so excited about this news that you got for us.
I know. I'm excited, too, because along with football season, all right, is one of our favorite things to do. Obviously, I didn't play, Jono. I don't do the grave digger every time I sack a quarterback like you do.
I used to.
You used to. But other than that, my thing that I love is I love to play the fantasy. I know you love the horses, okay, and you're in a fantasy too.
Right.
But the fantasy game's my game.
Oh, there's no question about it. And it brings everyone together that loves football. It's hard sometimes when you're cheering on a quarterback that's not on your team, going up against your team. But you know what? You got your own team there. You got a team and you're loving it. And I tell you, it's a beautiful gig. It's a beautiful game.
I think that's exactly why NFL is probably the most popular sport right now. I think fantasy sports has a lot to do with that because that gives you interest in so many other teams other than just the team you root for.
Right.
You know,
right.
You're engaged in so much more than just the Cowboys game.
Well, I sit down, watch the Red Zone.
Isn't that the best channel?
It is. Obviously, when our Cowboys aren't on primetime, or when they're on primetime, when they're, it's a regular game, I got to watch that. But when they're on primetime, it makes it easier because I can sit down, flip on the Red Zone, have the computer in front of me. I got my daily games going, which I usually do like 20 or 30 of those.
Right.
Just the dollar or $2 one. And then I think I'm in three fantasy leagues.
I tell you what, fellas, I had a great some weeks that I had Romo and I had Dez. And when Romo drops back to hit that 30-yard pass to Dez and see Dez run down for another 15, 20 yards to score, boom, you accumulated like over 14, 15 points right there.
It's unbelievable. Well, we're going to move on because I got the big news for you here. We got Andy Alberth on the line, all right? He's out there. He's the CEO of the National Fantasy Football Convention.
You're kidding.
No, and when I think of that, I'm in the mortgage business, so I think of the real estate convention where all these people go, or I could think of the porn convention where all the
all
people
right.
go.
You said
you
weren't going to go there.
I had to get it in there. Andy, you there, buddy?
I'm here, guys. How you guys doing?
It's an awesome day up here, that's for sure. How's Dallas down there?
It's hot. It's getting hot, boys.
Well, perfect. Well, we're going to slide right into it. Tell us what you got going on. I mean, obviously, it's a huge deal, this National Fantasy Football Convention. And as we read through all the notes I know you've been in a battle with the NFL over getting this going on, and we think this is going off in mid-July here down there in Dallas. But tell us how it started, how you got involved in it, and what we should expect out of the convention.
Okay, well, it's a three-day event here in Dallas, Texas, July 14th to 16th. A ton of Cowboy players, some greats that are playing on the team now, but then also some great legends that play for them, along with some other fantasy studs throughout the country, like David Johnson, Fantasy Football Player of the Year last year. It's a three-day event, an MVP party, kickoff party Friday night, Saturday and Sunday. We have a 100,000-foot square foot convention center where there's a football field built inside of it along with a main stage with a 100-foot screen. We're going to do a lot of cool panels and fantasy football classes and experts against each other and put them in an actual draft on the main stage and watch the top two guys from Yahoo, CBS, and ESPN go at it. So we have that. We're going to do the first ever Fantasy Football Hall of Fame that the fans get to vote on our website at GoingFFC. So there's a lot of cool events. There's always something going on. Players are doing autographs, photo ops, Q&As. They're mingling with the fans, mingling with the sponsors. And then we finish Sunday with the ultimate draft where five lucky fans get chosen. They have to download our app, and they get chosen to go on the main stage and draft the five NFL players. Jeremy Hill, who led the NFL at rushing touchdowns 2 years ago from the Bengals, is in that draft. Taylor Gabriel, David Johnson, once again, the number one fantasy player, and then two other players.
How many people are you expecting down there, Andy?
Somewhere around 4 to 5 million people.
Oh, wow.
Just I'm kidding, guys.
I was like, wait a minute.
Rodney fell for it. Yeah. 4 to 5 million. I go, wait a minute. That's a goddamn big tent.
I don't think the fire marshal is going to be okay with that one.
We're expecting
somewhere between 2,500 and 7,500 first-year event. And
wow.
Guys, it's the tip of the iceberg for us. We're 100. Want to get back to 100 players next year. Want to also build out. We're gonna have a small version of Taste of Texas this year, where we're gonna have another building next to it next year, and have a full building with Taste of Texas. Whether it's Texas style foods, barbecues, restaurants, beef jerky, steaks, anything that you think of when you think of food here in Texas, with the car show.
That sounds terrible.
Okay, so I'm trying to wrap my head around there. I'm Joe, fantasy football player. Right, I got. I do a league with my buddies in Yahoo or CBS. I'm gonna go there. What am I gonna do other than chase guys around for autographs or try to get Matthew Berry to tell me who I'm taking first overall?
I mean, you have a shot at playing football on the football field with the players. You got a shot to come witness the first ever Fantasy Football Hall of Fame. I'm sure you. Kind of like me, where you played with your friends that you grew up with. So you remember those Priest Holmes and LaDainian Tomlinsons and Marshall Faulks and Randy Mosses that helped get you over the top for a playoff run or get you in the playoffs or get you a Super Bowl. So that's a really cool event. There's gift bags for everybody that comes there. There's parties after the convention at night. I mean, it's going to turn into this Comic-Con for football fans, not just fantasy fans, but football fans in general. So it's a 3-day event, planning to go 50 players every year. I mean, we want you guys to walk away with, it doesn't have to be an autograph, it could be a photo, it could be a memory. And it kind of goes back to talking to this guy a few weeks ago. He was 4 years old when he met Terry Bradshaw. And he's about in his 40s now, and he can remember it like it was yesterday. His eyes blew up when he told me the story. So it's about building those experiences for other football fans and their kids.
You know what? You mentioned the Hall of Fame thing. And to tell you where my mind was, I was thinking, wow, I won my league like 4 times in a row. How do I get nominated for the Hall of Fame? But you're talking we're putting the players in, not the managers.
Yeah.
Rodney's laughing over here at me.
You would. Hey, Andy, I wanted to ask you too, just kind of how you got involved, or kind of what was the genesis of kind of putting all this together, and just kind of take us through kind of, step one to where we are today.
Well, I've always been really intrigued by the whole entrepreneur thing, and it's an idea that I came up with a friend of mine who actually does conventions. So he does the biggest mortgage convention probably the last 13, 15 years here in the United States. So it's good to have somebody that understands conventions and productions. And one night we were out at dinner, he asked me, has there ever been a fantasy football convention? Because I got him in his first fantasy football league. And I go, yeah, but I felt like they've done it wrong. He goes, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, they've done one in Atlantic City with just some fantasy experts. And my thought was, that doesn't get a fan to jump on a plane and come to a hotel, pay for a hotel, pay for a ticket, just for fantasy advice. We can get that on the internet and read their articles. So I don't think you could save a couple thousand dollars by doing that. But actually bringing the players involved and have the players get involved and do mock drafts with actual NFL players. And I mean, it's the adage of, we can go to a Steeler game, sit at the 50-yard line and spend $1,000 on the seats, but we're going to walk out of that stadium and not meet a player. So for a lot cheaper, you can come to this convention and meet a lot of players. I mean, we have some great ones coming, too. I mean, we've got some even really good fantasy players. I think we may have MJD coming. We're working with him. We have Terrell Owens coming. We have Darren Woodson, Charles Haley, some of the Michael Vick. So we got some of the other guys that were really good in fantasy as well.
And you know what? It's a great way to meet these guys and just talk to them and just say, you know what, you are inspiration out on the field. I love watching you play. That's one thing right there that's worth $1,000 to me.
I hear you there. Now, that'd be phenomenal just to get to talk to the guys about that. Now, Andy, I know I've met you a couple times before through a mutual friend, and I know you have relationships with players out there. So here's I got an insider question for you. How do the players react to guys like us, fantasy football managers? I've heard all sorts of stories as far as, man, why didn't you score that touchdown? Or, hey, I needed that extra yard. What do the players think of guys like me that play fantasy football?
Well, it depends what type of guy you are. You're the guy that blasts them on Twitter if they have a fumble in the fourth quarter and they lose that week. Or it depends. You got those guys. And that's actually hard on some of the players. I mean, they take that personal because they try to give the best and they put all that effort in to be the best. And sometimes you can get hit so hard you fumble a ball or you don't catch a ball. I mean, it's going to happen. We're all prone to mistakes and none of us are perfect. So I actually eat at some of the players. I mean, you can use it as a motivation tool to get even better, or, I mean, you just let it go. You don't need to respond to that stuff. I mean, I've asked that question a lot to the players. So it's definitely something that even the players come ask me about the convention. And like you said, with all these relationships I have, they say, Andy, I don't know anything about football or fantasy football, so I don't think I should come. I was like, that's not what it's about. It's about meeting the fans, building your brand as well, and learning about fantasy. So the players are excited to come in and learn a little bit about fantasy football as well.
Yeah, Andy, I remember like a couple of years ago, I've told this on the show, I ran into Jackie Smith, and I stuck my hand out at a blues bar, and I go, I've forgiven you, Jackie. And he looked at me like, what are you talking about? I go, I've forgiven you. I'm a Cowboy fan. And then he just pulled his hand away and walked away, and I felt good, though. I felt good. Like, I forgave the guy. Yeah. I forgave the guy. That was a perfect pass.
Yeah, cost us a Super Bowl ring, that's for sure.
Okay, I forgave him already, okay?
You know what? I got a one-up story on you, and I don't know if I've told you guys this on the air. Obviously, you knew I did that stuff with the Rams for 17 years on the sidelines, and Brett Favre was in town playing the Rams, and he happened to was signing some autographs. So I had a football. I walk up to him. I said, Brett, man, can I get you to sign this? He goes, yeah, sure, no problem. So he's signing it. And I said, hey, I got a special request for you. And he goes, what's that? I said, it's fantasy football Super Bowl week today. And he goes, really, this early? And it happened to be just a week early. The way my league runs, they try to get it out so there's no end of the season
right.
tank jobs going on. Mm-hmm. So he goes, really, this early? I go, yeah, it's you know, it's Super Bowl week. I said, here's my request. I said, I got Donald Driver on my team, and the guy I'm playing has Greg Jennings. So I would appreciate it. I swear to God.
Favre act like Pete Rose.
I swear to God.
Start throwing to that guy.
So I said, hey, I said, I got Donald Driver. He has Greg Jennings. I could really use a lot of love towards Driver this week. And he smiles. He goes, absolutely, man. I'll see what I can do.
Holy God.
At this time, I was doing the instant replay. I was on the visitor side. So I was on Green Bay side. He threw every damn pass to Greg Jennings and would come off
Jennings.
To Jennings. And he would come off the field and just eye me down and smile like, see?
That's what I do.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
And I lost. I don't have a fantasy football championship ring from that year.
Yeah. Well, Andy, a lot of people like him out there.
I got a little one for you guys if you guys got a little time.
Of course.
This one burnt for a while. So I've been in the league forever, won probably three of the championships out of the first 4 years. Kind of came in like the New England Patriots before I got caught cheating. But no, I'm kidding. No. I wasn't cheating. But,
you're observing.
I built the team of all teams. This is Victor Cruz's best year. Jordy Nelson came on. So got a lot of the Arian Foster's the best running back in the league. And my team is a stack. And got a quarterback who actually happened to be my cousin at the time. And he wasn't my cousin anymore after this. But so he was playing in the Cowboys versus the Eagles in a week 16 game. And the game meant nothing. And it was statistically, or however it fell, that it all came down to the Redskin game. This is maybe 2013 or 2012. And it came down to that Redskin game. So the game meant nothing. He was my quarterback in my fantasy Super Bowl. And he got a hand contusion, hit hard on the first drive with the helmet. His hand blew up, puffed up really bad. And he got 0 points. They took him out of the first drive because they knew the game meant nothing and they knew the division came down to the last game. I ended up losing to the other guy who wins the championships just as much as I do by 1 point.
Jesus.
And my cousin got 0 in the Super Bowl championship game.
Oh,
so I didn't talk to him for about 3 to 4 months.
I kept away from him.
That's it. I mean, the fantasy football guys, man,
it's our team.
Absolutely. And we're half nuts, you know, because we're sitting there just cheering for You know, every little thing. And John, I know we brought this up last fall when we were doing this, as far as it's hard when you get you pick somebody else on a different team and all of a sudden they're playing the Cowboys and you're sitting there trying to win fantasy, but you don't want the Cowboys to lose.
Oh, I've actually went up against my fantasy team knowing that there's a Romo or Dez playing in Green Bay the week 14 or 13 or something like that. I'm telling you, boys, there's loyalty and there's loyalty. I still stuck with my Cowboy team. I got to tell you, it was difficult. It really was.
Absolutely.
I did it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, fantasy football, too, is another – it's a cool way, especially if you're in a league with friends, like, and you don't live in the same state, kind of like for me. And it's a way for us to stay communicated. We talk so much more during that season, and then you kind of go off and do your own thing because everybody has kids and are married now. And it's a fun way to know what your friends are still doing as you guys get older. And it's a way to stay in touch with them. And it's a really fun way to talk trash if you win.
And you know what, Andy, on that note, too – you find out a little bit about your friends, the stingy ones, the ones that send you some goofy, goofy trades that you would go, unbelievable. I may not even open this up because it's some goofy trade that he probably picked up a free agent from the wire. Now he wants to trade him for one of my guys. It's unbelievable.
Oh, and you lose friends, too. I probably lost three friends out of that league that I don't talk to anymore. Because they promised me a trade, or they've done something else, or they didn't agree to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely
so
sometimes we. Yeah.
You're obviously a fantasy footballer. Jono and I are in a heated fantasy baseball league too. I mean, the most intense thing that you'll ever want to get into. It's contracts. It's minor league system.
Andy, my team cost me $2,300. Can you believe that?
So he spends $2,300, and I spend $307, and I got to compete against this guy. So the story I'm getting to is, what format do you prefer when you do fantasy? I mean, do you like keeper leagues? Do you like the draft?
Everyone with $100 fantasy, $100 going in, or how do you guys do it?
I like the original snake draft where we just we lottery it. Let's say in June we get our friends together, do a cookout, and we do a lottery. So we see who's got that way 2 months in advance. You know what pick you have, and then we do the snake draft. We don't do keepers. We don't do salary. It's just your typical league. Two quarterback you start, two running backs, two receivers, or three receivers, a tight end, kicker, and a defense. It's the kind of the old school way. I don't like getting too glitchy and changing it up just in case it doesn't work out.
Well, you know what?
If it's not broken, don't fix it.
No, and that's probably the most fun one. I guess it probably requires the least amount of work. You know, we do the same thing in my traditional league. Is you, all of a sudden you get, here's CBS Sportsline, I think, picks our snake draft order, and then you start, you know, kind of sending messages to the guy who has number one and number two if you're sitting there at three and four trying to figure out who you're taking. When you do the snake draft, everybody always wants, oh, man, I got the number one pick. Number one pick.
It's not good.
Give me number 9 or 10 or 14 depending
or
on
16,
depending on how many guys.
Yeah.
I like the end of the draft because I know I'm getting two top 20 picks as opposed to the number one guy and the number 20.
Yeah. I think Andy.
Yeah, no, I'm.
Sorry, Andy,
yeah,
go ahead.
You guys, I think. No, I totally agree with you. I think that's you wait too long for your next pick, and you put too much pressure on that first pick. I mean, he has to be your team at that point because you basically don't get a pick until the second round at the last pick. But I think the top three guys this year for sure, if I was to do a ranking, would probably be David Johnson, Zeke Elliott, and Le'Veon Bell in no certain order would be your top three picks.
Well, there you go. There you go, folks. Yeah. Now, Andy, I've always pictured conventions. No offense to you or Andy here, Steve, but I always pictured them like Star Trek conventions. But these are our type of people that are going to be down there. You know, they're going to be wearing the jerseys. They're going to be representing their teams. And, you know, it's a beautiful scene. And we've always made fun. I have whenever I've seen the Star Trek people out there waiting for – The Star Trek guy to pop up on stage and all that, but this is our world, man. This is what we live for. Yeah. I don't think any of our wives want us down there.
Probably not.
No, guys. The crazy thing is it's actually, I'd say 35-40% of our registration are females. It's
becoming
so popular in the female industry.
Now they really don't want us to go down there.
Wow.
And the exhibit hall here is it's turning into this Disneyland for adults. What I mean by that is our sponsors. We have so many different games that are tailgate games. We have a tailgate zone, a fan cave.
Yeah.
We have trampolines. We have cool new trampolines. We have really cool golf carts. They're just kind of really decked out in helmets. It's amazing these cool sponsors that we're getting in every day and to have such a playland like that for adults. It's a pretty cool thing to see, and it's just the tip of the iceberg of what we want this thing to really be in 3 years from now.
Okay, so are you going to have, I need to know because I'm looking for a new fantasy football team trophy. Are you going to have a trophy guy down there that has like rings and trophies that I can buy for my league?
We're working with a couple right now. We're also working with the same thing with a wrestling belt or a championship belt as well.
That's nice, too.
Absolutely.
I like the belt idea.
Well, I'm sure you do there.
What's that supposed to mean?
I mean, do you have to get it sized? That would be the problem if me and
you.
Oh,
he's not actually going to throw it around his waist, for love of God.
No. Yeah, I am. I'm wearing it on the plane on the way home. I'm showing that thing off the whole way home.
Really would.
Absolutely. I'll take it through security.
There you go.
Yeah.
So first year, it's going to go off and hopefully get all those all the glitches worked out. Are we thinking staying in Dallas with this for the foreseeable future?
I think so. I think, yeah, we like the partnership we have with the city of Dallas right now. I think we'll keep it here. I mean, we've got some other plans of doing some other national events, but we're not sure. We're just going to kind of make sure we have a successful event this year and just keep improving every year.
Yeah, and the thing I wanted to just mention, like, it sounds like everything that I love about football and fantasy sports is kind of what all these things that you've already just touched on, getting together, having food, playing backyard games, just another reason to get together with my buddies, have a couple beers, eat some food, talk some football, you know, do all that. So, I mean, I think well on the right track. Sounds like, like it's going to be a great event.
No question, Rodney, no question. Now, are there any affiliations like you see on the fans draft.com, all these big timers, the two that stand out on TV, what are they?
You mean like FanDuel and DraftKings?
Right. Are they going to be a part of this too, Andy, or is this just groups of people that have their own leagues, basically?
No, they won't be a part of it for a couple of reasons. I mean, daily fantasy is illegal in about 5 states right now, and Texas is being one of them. So this is more of a convention get that knowledge. Just come get that knowledge. It's 2 weeks before you should be drafting anyway, 2-3 weeks. So it's come get that fantasy advice and get that edge over your friends if they don't come. Be able to have that experience and fantasy info that you can use 2-3 weeks down the road when you have your fantasy drafts with your friends and colleagues.
I wonder if we do. Do you have like a higher education, like a class down there? Maybe I can get like a certificate or a diploma or something.
How do you get one?
Well, I'm just saying, if we give like a class, maybe we can.
Teach it? Where,
yeah, somebody teaches.
Become the professor.
Well, somebody teaches it, right? You get a diploma, and then I go to my draft and say, "Hey guys, I got like a higher education diploma here
Andy,
on fantasy football."
You don't even have to answer this one. Yeah.
I kind of like that. I mean, you get Matthew Berry to sign it, too. I like that, actually.
Absolutely.
The dean.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, we got something here.
Yeah.
I'll have guys down there with rings. The other thing is I would love to have a guy selling, like, those big checks, you know, that you could write your name on when you win.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you got your picture, you got your belt over your shoulder, you got your big check, which you got to go cash at a big bank.
Right. Yeah.
It's we got a lot of potential, man. I'm telling you.
Well, Andy, we're excited about possibly going down there on what is it, July 14th?
Yeah, July. Is that the kickoff that Friday night?
Yeah, that's the Friday night kickoff party. So everybody that has an MVP pass is able to come to it. It's a pretty cool 21 and older event. It's going to be fun. It's kicking it off right. And then it's all about how you start and finish. So that's the kickoff. And then that ultimate draft is Sunday. And if you go to the website at gonfsc.com, you can use promo code Dallas or promo code Mighty to save $20. And it's a way to save some money that you can use maybe for a drink or two at the kickoff party.
Is there an 800 number, too, Andy, that they can call?
this is 2017, guys. We're in a digital age. We don't use those anymore.
Sorry.
Hey, can you fax me the details on this, and maybe I'll get the courier pigeon to take it out to some of our fan groups.
I still use that 800.
Andy, you're welcome back anytime for busting Jono's chops. We love that.
Hey, the funny thing is, when before we got you on the phone, Jono was like, hey, now keep it clean. No, don't say anything about my sausage fingers.
I never said sausage finger. He's making that up, Andy.
So I'm glad you're busting his chops, that's for sure. It makes a fun show, or show fun.
Yeah.
Right?
You got to be able to take it to give it, boys.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So give us that website again. Where are they going, and how do they register? What do they have to do? Obviously, they got to get on a plane, a train, automobile, or if you're in Dallas, get there. But get to Dallas. What do I do when I get there? How do I register?
You go to the website. It's the only form of getting the tickets. You hit register now, and it's really simple. You put your email in, your first, last name, and then you'll have a badge at the convention. Then use promo code Mighty or Dallas. It'll save you $20 off the tickets, what other tickets you get. There's an MVP pass for $299, a general admission pass for $79 that gets you in both days, and then a kids pass for $39. And the website is the word GO, G-O, and then we abbreviate the National Fantasy Football Convention, so GoNFFC.com.
Perfect. Hey, Andy, another thing I like to throw out there, if we're down there, we're going to have about 300-400 shirts that we're going to be handing out to people, Dallas Cowboy Fantasy, and we're kind of excited about that. And we will also have a Charles Haley jersey signed that we will give away at when we're down there as well.
Probably on that Sunday. So, yeah, we got a lot of planning to do if we can make it down there. And I know that you're in talks with a lineup media group here and our general manager as far as hopefully making some arrangements for us to come down. And we're going to make sure we get this promoted out because it's still not too late to get registered and make those arrangements.
Yeah, when's the deadline on this, Andy?
I mean, you can sign up. You can come up to the door and sign up as well. Oh, I think it helps. It's signing up a little bit early because you get a badge when you come to the registration desk at the convention that won't be – I mean, it's going to be a real badge that's printed out compared to something that may be written as a Sharpie with your name on it.
Yeah, how cool would that be, folks, to have players sign that badge too?
It better
That would be pretty cool. And I mean, we have Charles Haley there as well. We just got him. I think he'll be tweeting about it today.
Awesome. Well, there goes my jersey idea. I was giving.
He'll love the idea. He'll love.
Yeah. Okay. That's.
He'll be fine.
All right. That's right.
Maybe we can get him to tackle you and do the Gravedigger.
Why do you want him to tackle me?
Yes. I want him to sack you and do the Gravedigger.
I did the Gravedigger 20 years ago. There's no.
Well, so did Charles Haley probably.
He did. No one did it except some North Carolina guy I seen on TV. That's what made me do it.
I want this set up right in the lobby in front
of
as many people
Charles
as we can
Haley
get in there.
Tackling me? What the hell?
All right, Andy. Hey, you know what? We're through the first half of the show. If you're more than welcome to stay on as we get into more cowboy talk, or you can drop off anytime. Your choice. I mean, I know you're a cowboy, a big cowboy fan and supporter down there. So,
thank you so much, Andy.
Appreciate
it. Great, man.
No, I appreciate you guys having me, man. We're excited to get you guys out there.
All right. All right, Andy. And that's Andy Albright.
Yep. And you go to GoNFFC.com and get registered. I'm pretty excited for it, man. That would be
– I think I got to lose a little weight. You know? Maybe they'll think of me as a player, former player one time.
You'd take that Dallas Cowboy helmet you got over there and you'd look like a guy walking around.
That won't fit on his head.
It won't
Are
fit
you kidding
on my
me?
Head. I bought that on – eBay.
First and foremost, the city of Dallas to get down there, and they got some awesome stuff going around. But just to be in that area, maybe get up to the Star, do a tour, get down to the stadium, do a tour. So for our fans out there, I really suggest you get online right now, start booking a ticket, get your get registered, and try to make some arrangements to get down there because there's a lot to do. It'll be a good time of year to be down in Dallas, nice and hot.
I was going to say, I need to start packing my sunscreen now. Being a ginger, I'll get a sun. My dermatologist told me I can get a sunburn on an airplane. That's how.
Well, you got to wear that little big cap. You know? I tell you what, though, I'm really excited about what Andy said about the food I mean, the in tailgate? The years to come,
oh, yeah. Tailgate
they're
zone.
Going to have
yeah.
Like
oh, the taste of Dallas
oh,
type
taste
thing.
Taste of
yeah.
Dallas. Yeah. I guarantee there's some ribs down there that are just delicious.
I'm telling you, we go to a couple places down there. This place called Neighborhood Services.
We've got a place, a restaurant down there that's been a fan of the show.
Yeah, Fishbone?
Yeah, yeah Fishbone. Yeah. Fishbone's a big fan of our
absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely. But, Jono, you got some notes on what we got going on. The cool thing, Rodney missed it. So I walk in, and we all of a sudden we had a meeting here. Lineup Media is blowing up. They got a radio station that they just – they're launching, right? An internet radio station. Well, I don't have the exact details.
Right. It's in the works. It should be
by the end of the month,
really
right?
Really big, yeah.
But we got like 15 interns.
How many did I have in the
and
conference
you had,
room?
You had 8 interns in there just firing off questions from – I mean, that's completely different because now they're reading everything, and you started taking notes. Like I didn't even know you could write.
Yeah, yeah, these sausage fingers are up.
All right,
yeah.
Well, what do you got? Let's start firing up some questions for us.
Well, you know, the big thing that I wanted to bring up was that the Cowboys right now, it really bothered me knowing this, is that Dez Bryant was returning punts. And I don't want him returning punts, fellas. I don't want him anything near that. Why the hell would you risk your number one player, probably a top five player in the NFL, you've got Switzer. You already brought Switzer in just for that. He's the best punt returner in the game in college, okay? Yep. You brought him in for that. Why are we having Dez Bryant back there, the number two guy, returning punts? It's crazy because I'll tell you this. I don't think Dez Bryant likes to go down. And it's going to be costly if one guy's twisting the ankle here or something like that. And this guy, he's not a big fan of going down, like I said. So I don't like it at all. What's your call?
There's no way in hell that Dez Bryant no. is going to return a punt.
Well, tell Jerry that. Why no, is he doing that now?
What's the backstory? It literally might have been he just said, hey, I want to work on some hand-eye coordination and catch a couple balls and just explode. You know what I mean? Like something like that. Now, if
sorry, Dez.
I'm with you, though. There's no way in hell.
Right.
No way in hell. That's like actually like, you know, they're working on him to do that for the season. I think that might have been him just back there messing around, just wanting to catch a couple punts.
Then, okay, I'll buy into that. But if they get any crazy ideas of that guy
no.
returning punts, I didn't like Beasley returning punts. I mean, I got a little worried when I seen Beasley back there.
Do you guys, and that's a question, I mean, when the ball goes up in the air and you got somebody back there, who have you ever
Isn't
felt...
Isn't that the craziest position in the world?
Have you ever felt, like, comfortable with the guy back there that was either...
Deion was my guy.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Deion, I knew something was going to happen. When Deion caught that ball, man, high-stepping, he knew... Hey, I'm going to completely turn around and go the other way.
So I think there's two phases to the punt return game. There's A, the guy that can make it happen, right? Somebody that can make it happen and score a touchdown. And then there's B, the guy that can actually catch the ball. And maybe vice versa, those A is catch the ball and B's make something happen. But
you got to be nutty on the head,
but
too.
But 90% of the guys back there are either an A guy or a B guy. So, you know, you get Beasley back there. I'm not a big... I'm not sure he's a make-it-happen guy.
No.
But
no.
he's a hands guy.
Yeah, he's a catch-it guy.
But there's guys that we've had back there that are like, oh, crap, what's going to happen? I just hope he catches the ball and then see what can happen.
What irritates you back there the most? When for me, it's when they catch it inside the 5-yard line. It's like, what the hell are you doing? My 7-year-old kid would have let that ball go. Why are you catching this ball?
Yeah,
it's insane.
Mine is the running backwards.
Yeah.
The catch it, and then you go east-west, and you start and you lose like 8 yards.
Or running out of bounds,
right.
Losing like 3-4 yards.
I'm telling you, 90% of the ones that go for touchdowns or long returns are when they actually catch it, and their first 3 steps are straight forward. And then they make a move. But anytime they go lateral, east-west, and then they start going backwards. And
no. Done.
That's just disastrous.
Why is it like a magnet on them that they decide to always run to the sidelines? You don't see the guys like we used to see that just go right in there, right, just burst right into the middle there, and then point at some guy, and then the lineman takes that guy out, and boom, we're off to the racetrack.
that is an exciting part of the game, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we got Switzer back there. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do.
We got to have that guy.
But I know you had that notes on there because we were in there talking about you know, what kind of impact you see Switzer from a receiver standpoint. And if, you know, if he's supposedly a very similar player to Beasley and a slot guy, are we going to see them guys on the field together at any point?
I don't know how the hell you could do that. I mean, Rodney, how do you put both them out there?
Both Switzer, is it Switzer or Switzer?
No, Switzer.
Both Switzer and Beasley is what you're asking.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, I think there's, I mean, every down, no. I mean, but there'll be some packages maybe where you can put them out there just to make the defense do something different. Make them, you know, if you saw how effective Beasley was just on the short little passes, right? And you keep dumping that, what's going to happen? Dez is going to get open downfield. Right, you know, so if you maybe put even more pressure on, you have two slot guys.
Well that means.
But let's say that whoever we're playing, their you know, their third, fourth, and fifth cornerbacks are pretty weak. You put an extra group of guys out there that are just fast and can get open on 3 to 5 yard routes. Why wouldn't you look at and explore trying to do that?
Well, I know that they're going to have to come up with some packages, and I'm sure Linehan's all over it. But if you think about, you know, T. Will and Dez and Beasley and Switzer now, and I know we got another handful of receivers there, and then the tight ends.
We got four tight ends.
I mean, I know that, you know, some of these guys are mainly blocking tight ends, which makes them like a sixth lineman. But, gosh, man, there's, you know, and then you're a handoff guy, a handoff team. You know, right. You're a running team.
Right.
And your quarterback has the options.
He's
a triple threat.
Our tight ends. We got Rico Gathers that's trying to make the team.
I like him.
You like him?
I do like him.
Well, yeah, he's a big dude, man. He's a big dude. But I'll tell you what, then you got Hannah, who's a blocking type of tight end.
Right.
And Swainy, he likes to catch the ball. Yeah, he proved that last year. And then we got our Hall of Famer, Witten. So,
look, every great team is loaded with talent, right? There's in over a course of a season.
Do you keep four tight ends?
No, no. Not unless it makes sense on the special teams or something in that. And somewhere down the line, maybe. I don't see, I mean, without being there every day and seeing the team on the field and everything like that. But, no, I can't imagine who would keep four tight ends unless – you know, you're looking at some packages where that tight end's going to be in the backfield and maybe block every now and again.
Last
or
year,
on the special teams. But
yeah, and we just let go of Escobar.
Right. Well, you can't let – in those skill positions, you've got – you know, you can't let good, talented wide receivers go over some middle-of-the-road tight ends.
I got you, but then on that note, Rodney, we've got eight wideouts. In camp, too.
It'll work itself out.
Yeah.
This is results-oriented.
Not to mention, the guy that we didn't even put in our special teams in punt return and kickoff return, who's also another speedster, is Lucky Whitehead. I mean,
I don't think he's going to be with the team.
I think he might be one that might be left out. I kind of wonder.
Yeah, I really think so, too.
Yeah.
I think with the Cowboys signing a free agent right now, I think his name's Lenore from Western Illinois. I think Will McClay, he's putting a lot of stock in this guy.
Look, this happens at this time of year.
But eight wideouts.
Yeah, but this happens at this time of year. And it happens at a lot of different positions. It just so happens that that's kind of our position of strength or depth right now. But you have to have the numbers now because somebody, knock on wood, right, people get hurt.
Oh, you know, is this where Rich comes in, Kung Fu Panda, and says NFL Rich stands not for long?
No, that was you. I wasn't going there. But things happen. So, you know, if you have this great group of talent now and you stay healthy, that's a good problem to have, right? It's a good problem to have that much talent. It's better to have a tough decision on cutting a player than being like, you know what, that guy, and that guy. I know they're terrible and they're not going to be here in a month.
Well, I tell you what, the team's headed to Oxnard, California. I think they bring like 12,000 fans to watch them practice out there.
Yeah.
And you know who 53 players is what we're trying to get to. And I think this is the toughest for every NFL team making these cuts.
Agreed. But sure. You know who's going to have some insight on that once training camp starts is Colleen Case, our professor. Yeah. I know she's going to be out there. and she's going to give us all the information we need. She's
our scout.
She's going to be on it. That's for sure.
Yeah,
I miss her.
She's probably making a trip to California. You think she, does she go there for training camp?
Well, she was in Dallas this whole time.
Right.
Yeah. She lives out there in California. Was down in Dallas with the new grand child.
What a beautiful cowboy fan too. I mean, I know she'll make the trip out to Cali to watch the Cowboys working out there.
Oh, without a doubt. What else you got on that sheet here? Your little notepad.
Well, I mean, I could have thought of this on my own? You think I needed the
interns? No, I didn't. No, but what I thought was is I'm like, oh, my gosh, Jono's now, like, in management. I saw you walk in there like General Patton. It was unbelievable.
You guys
like
do
Sergeant
have a
seat. Schultz.
More like Sergeant Schultz. He said.
You walked in like Sergeant Schultz, and you said, I know nothing. And these guys said, here's what we got. It was awesome.
You're a weasel. Anyway, we're looking at also there's our defensive line right now. We got Taco, and Taco has been working out with Smith, and they're just banging heads, man, left and right. And that's how do you get the best training if you're a defensive lineman butting heads with Smith on he's an all-pro.
Yeah. Well, no, that's exactly it. Having that depth at this time of year, having better competition around you makes everyone better. Whether it's the person that you're facing, head to head on the opposite side of the line, or the guy that you're battling for a position over.
Right.
I mean, that is huge. That makes everyone better. That brings everyone's A game to the table.
But how long until they start throwing blows?
Well, they already did, didn't Witten? And
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Who did he get into it? Was it
Byron Jones?
Yeah, something like that. And that's fine. That stuff happens. I'm not worried about it. That's going to happen.
I can't see Witten doing that, though. I guess with your own team, you can do that just to show you're the alpha male.
What, you mean you can't see a guy who runs 40 yards without a helmet while these guys are taking pot shots at him, throwing fists with somebody?
Remember that?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Big news, Elliott. I think this year, if it comes down to that 2,000-yard marker, I think he wants it. Last year, we sat him out. And what a game
as
and a half
should,
there.
As we should have.
I know that. But this year, he's kind of eyeing the 2,000, and I don't think he's going to be such a team player when it comes to, hey, yeah, we're going to sit you out this game. Where, you know what? The guy knows that he could probably get 100 easy. It's up in the air like that.
Yeah. You want your players to have that kind of passion and desire and have those goals, but at some point in time, the organization, we have to cross that bridge again, I'm sorry, they're going to have to put their foot down again.
I'm setting the over-under right now, 1,600 yards.
1,600?
1,600.
What did he end up with last year?
Wow.
Wasn't it 18?
That's a big number, man. 16.
No, I mean, for him, if you're going for 2,000, 16's a walk in the park.
I know what he's going for, but I don't know if 16 is a good over and under. I would have said 13.
I would have taken the over on that.
Yeah, I would have taken the over. I mean, we did 12 last year as a rookie, and he blew it out of the water.
I think in Vegas they got us at 9.5 wins, and we know we're going to get over 10.
Right.
So 13 may sound crazy to us, but that's what the line may be out there.
I'm going to look at what the actual yardage was last year, if I can find that.
Wasn't it 17 or 18?
Yeah. And that was I think, am I on the Elias playing. Sports Bureau? What do I got here?
Well, in any case, I think that's going to be something to look at there. And we've got Dez pushing for Revis on our team. And I'm not a big fan of this, guys. I don't like Revis Island anymore. I think Revis Island has become a real big resort.
An all-inclusive resort.
Yeah, I don't think that's an island anymore, a secluded island. I really think that is a resort now that people have taken advantage of.
Yeah, you know, our secondary is young and probably, you know, I don't want to say it's a weakness necessarily, but it is young, right?
We were young in the 90s.
I know, absolutely, but my point is, you might strike lightning in a bottle with a guy like that, or you might not. So it depends on what's the deal. What can we get him for, or can we at least work him out and see if there's anything left in the tank? It's not necessary.
I think he's more like a three-star all-inclusive, where there's still some restaurants there that you need to pay for, right? And you're not getting top-shelf alcohol.
No.
He's no five-star resort.
No,
not at all. I just don't see it. I think that there's a lot of gap there. I think he's maybe if he wanted to play safety, maybe.
I don't think he's big enough to do that.
Well, I don't know. That's the only thing I could think of. But as a corner,
he doesn't seem like he would strike a lot of fear.
I was very happy when they got rid of Carr and our other guy back there.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Brown? I don't know.
Claiborne?
Claiborne, that's him. Yeah. I'll tell you what, there wasn't a week that went by that he didn't hold someone.
And I've been saying this since the end of last season. I want our secondary to be mean and nasty this year.
You want the Legion of Boom, don't you?
In some form or fashion, yes. I want them to be nasty. I want them to be feared. And, I just do. I just want them to...
I tell you what, if you want that, then I think that our guidance has got to be Heath back there. The guy is all around the ball. I don't think you change anything around. You want leadership, you'll let him guide the team.
Yep.
I mean, he's been outrageously good back there. I think he led the team in interceptions back there.
He is a ball hawk. And let me tell you what, man.
He hits. And I think I want that type of guy back there.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, some guys and Joe average fan might not realize it, but there are some guys that are out there that are like ball hawks. I mean, they have that natural skill set that they have an extra step and a half, 2 steps before the ball's even released. The anticipation of what's going to happen in the play.
Yep.
And that's what this kid is, because it by no means does he look imposing back there like he's one of the great all-time greats from safety position.
Right.
But he seems to get a good jump on it, and he's right there in the mix every time that ball goes up.
And we're going to need that. That's going to be – we have to turn the ball over more on defense. We have to force more turnovers this year. We just do.
See,
and I think it can come from the secondary. If we are that nasty that just, tip the ball, make a big hit, pop it loose, whatever we have to do, we got to get more turnover.
Okay, and see, I kind of disagree there. I think if we go in and we have the same sort of defensive turnover production that we did last year and – have a little bit better quarterback pressures than we did last year, that's going to be a magical run. Because here's what ends up happening is as our team controls the ball, as our offense controls the ball, and a lot of it done on the running side of things, okay, and just the ground and pound, all of a sudden that time clock starts coming into play. And if you can make sure that you're scoring touchdowns and not field goals, and if you just turn it over once, either on downs, forcing the punt, getting that pick, and you come down and score, it takes the other team out of their offense. And all of a sudden, now you can pin your ears back and go get them.
In any case, we are getting better back there. You're feeling guys like Skandrick, they're feeling the heat. I mean, this guy was the starter. Now he may not even be the starter. That's how good of young DBs we got back there.
Yeah. No, and I just want to go back to what Steve and I were talking about. I think that I don't disagree with you, however.
You better not.
I am going to, though.
Do it.
Now you just made me lose my train of thought.
That's my point exactly.
No. All right, listen. So what happened last year, though, is that our defense was bend but don't break, and we did it very well. However, that defense got kind of tired at the end of ball games. And if the game's close, you know, whoever had the ball last might win that game against our defense, right? So if we just force a few more turnovers throughout the course of the year, get a few extra possessions where we're the one controlling and dictating the tempo, then I think that just makes us that much better.
Okay, I think you said the same thing I did, except for I was more specific and said, I want a couple of sacks.
Yeah, sacks aren't turnovers, though.
Yeah, but they're going to force the other team to punt. You know, you get that sack on third down. You don't let the guy scramble for a first down. Yeah. I want the quarterback on his ass. That's what I want.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And the picks will come.
I don't disagree
with
that.
If you can put the quarterback on their ass, the picks will come.
How many times did we emphasize that?
That was our other weakness last year, was not getting enough pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah.
That was the weakness because that exposed your secondary.
Secondary. And how
I'm right, you're wrong. Get used to it.
How difficult is it with our DBs that have to cover 7 seconds instead of 3 seconds or something like that? You know, it's difficult. It's difficult on any. You could be an all-pro DB, and I'm telling you, it's hard to cover five and a half seconds.
Were you the kid that would say neener and like pumpkin eater?
Probably.
You two are going after each other.
Well, you won't let me talk about your sausage fingers. I need to spit venom at somebody. And Rodney,
I don't know where he gets these sausage finger remarks at. But going to what you were saying, Rodney, earlier, we are hosting a quarterback here, Dysert, that hasn't seen a snap since 2013.
And that was in college, right?
Yeah,
he's never seen an NFL snap. He's been with seven teams.
Yeah, and
not a single one.
That really makes what you said.
You know what it is?
There's a lot of people that are right now in that. In that fraternity of wearing that Dallas Cowboy helmet right now, that may not be around in a month or so.
I'm sure that they needed somebody to carry, like, either the tackle dummies or the bagels to the meeting room, and they brought this guy in. I could have done that, though.
Hey, he's got to be better than Sanchez. Sanchez was horrible.
Yeah, but Sanchez was fun to make fun of again.
Speaking of horrible, did you guys hear about that Philadelphia Eagle guy?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's a Philadelphia Eagle guy that put a Super Bowl tat, on his chest for this coming season.
And Kiss of death.
Yeah.
Kiss of death right there.
It doesn't matter. There's nowhere near anything like that. I think Vegas has got New England and Dallas as the key players here for the Super Bowl. Oh, God. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be.
Wouldn't that be great? You know what? You can rip on New England all you want out there, folks. This team, year after year after year, they show that they know how to draft. They know how to keep players. They know what player to let go. And we've always said, oh, now they're doomed. There's no way that they could survive leaving this player, letting this player go. They know how to do it. They know how to get things done in the AFC. But that's the AFC. We're NFC, and I can't wait for something like this to go down.
It just shows you that it is a quarterback-driven league because, you know, most of the teams, and I say most, that win have had stellar quarterback play. You know, guys that are all pros. I mean, I get it. You can go through and you can pick out your Tampa Bays and, you know, some one-offs there. Even the kid up in Baltimore with the Ravens, Flacco, he's a fine player. You know, that's not an issue. It's just, you know, they never spent the money on the offensive side of it. But you got to have a great quarterback, and that's what we're looking for out of Dak.
Even when he was suspended 4 games, Garoppolo? He filled in really well. I mean, what did he go, 3-1?
It's amazing.
It's just a Patriot tradition.
With a great quarterback.
Yeah. And we need that ring back, though. I'd love to stay even with them.
Yep.
But they're up on us now, one ring. They have, I think they have six.
No, I think they only have five.
Five? They have five.
Pittsburgh has six. We have five. Maybe we should get your boy Zach in here that likes going.
No, we're not going with Zach.
Broncos, yeah. How are the Broncos?
Yeah. By the way, what's going on with him?
He's gone. He's crying under a rock somewhere.
Witness protection came and swooped him up, and he's gone.
After last week, huh?
And he's gone.
I took care of that, didn't I, boys?
You do, but I'm scared to take you to places.
Well, we're going to a friendly combine here in Dallas. These are my people here.
They are. They're going to be your people, so I think you can get along with some.
There you go. I'm really excited about it. We're making shirts, printed shirts on this, and Charles Haley jersey. How about that?
That'll be awesome. Hey, I had a question for you.
With certificate.
Are you concerned at all with our offensive line? Are they due for a down year? I mean, we lost Free, which I know you're not upset at.
No, I'm really not.
And then who was it, Colin?
Leary.
Leary that
yeah.
we lost.
No, Leary's my big concern because now the left guard situation becomes something big. I mean, you look at teams like Philadelphia Eagles there. Their defensive line will be set, and, you know, it's going to be hard moving back some of these players. Our guard is now moving to tackle end. So, I don't know. It's the mystery of our offensive line. But according to the paper, the tape measure, we're still supposed to have the best offensive line in the game. So, yep. I'll buy into that, and I'll also buy into the whole Zeke thing. No more getting stuck behind the line of scrimmage here. Even when the guy goes down, he's going down a yard and a half forward. And that's a big thing. Really is.
Oh, my gosh. No, you hit it right on the head right there. It's very important to fall forward. I mean, we saw it all those years with, like, those Eric Dickersons and Marcus Allens. Man, those guys would get hit, and they would still get 2 or 3 yards. Like, how the hell did that happen? You know, but your boys like Barry Sanders, sometimes they get hit and lose 7 yards. So it's important to fall forward, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think the offensive line is still the best, pending health. You know, we've been pretty fortunate overall with the health. I think your anchors are Travis Frederick and Tyron Smith, you know, and then after that you got some moving parts. So you may see early on in the year where they may struggle a little bit because they're a little bit out of place or they're still trying to gel and come together. But if they stay healthy, I have no concerns with any of those guys.
And Rodney, I think you're right. And health comes down to a large part of this. And that brings us into our linebackers. And Sean Lee being healthy last year and playing a full season will be key. And now all of a sudden you got to look at Jalen. What are you going to get out of Jalen Smith? Is he going to be 100%? Is he going to be 90%?
I'm buying into it, Steve. From what I'm seeing him working out, he looks like, knock on wood. I'm going to knock on wood right now here. You guys heard that? I'm knocking on wood saying that the injuries are in the past. I'm not seeing that guy, Rose, that plays for the Chicago Bulls and snap his knee a couple, 2-3 times now where he's afraid to play the game and he's not himself anymore. He's not himself anymore. You're looking at a guy that, you know, I think is over that.
I sure hope so. I mean, everything that we've seen so far, he looks ready to go. You know, and if for some reason, maybe he's not, Anthony Hitchens played really well at middle linebacker last year, right. Had over 100 tackles. So even if he maybe needs to take a little breather here and there, you know, maybe not play as much, then I still feel, you know, I still feel like we're very capable right there. And like you, I definitely want to point out the Sean Lee thing. You're absolutely right. Defense was night and day whenever he played last year.
And you know what? Don't forget Damian Wilson here, folks. I mean, This kid filled in great. He started 6 games, like I said earlier. I got a lot of faith in this defense here. And I think Marinelli, he's got this defense. He's really proud of what he's put together here. It's a speed defense, and that's what we needed here.
Yep.
Hey, folks, subscribe to our show. Go to Stitcher. Go to iTunes. Go to subscribe to our podcast in Google Play, on Stitcher, on RSS, via RSS, whatever it is. Yeah.
Subscribe on Android.
Android. Get on this ship.
On with us at, you know, just go to cowboyspodcast.com, okay, and you can get all that for your phones. Make sure you follow us on Facebook.
Facebook, yeah.
That's a big one.
We're definitely, like we've said before, we get Facebook Live where we get like 20, 30,000 of you fans out there chiming in. We got call-ins. It becomes really exciting here.
That's a blast. I can't wait to do that again. I think we got like 6 primetime games or seven. It's ridiculous.
So what are we? Is that what we're going to do, is kind of target the primetime games to do that?
Well, yeah. I think I don't know if I could pull it all the time with the family, but I definitely think that we should
with
have.
With the family. You kick them out of the house on Sundays.
I do. I hide from my wife. she gets on her broom, flies around the house, but
I think you just called his wife a witch.
I did not. You just did. You just called my wife that. But hey, folks, download, subscribe to our show. And when you're on our site at cowboyspodcast.com, on your right hand side, you got Amazon. Be a big fan of Amazon there. Click on our site. And you know what? Shop away. You won't see us again, but you have to go to cowboyspodcast.com first and then click on Amazon on your right hand side.
you know, if you get on our show, if you get on, you know, when you get our Facebook page or whatever it is, make sure you share it out with other Cowboy fans. And we got a bunch of groups that do that now. I'll just name off a couple.
Before you do that, how about Barry? Barry's got an official America's Team right there, and he's on here.
He's there. Our official America's Team. Barry does an awesome job. One of our other favorites is Maylene Smith, Dallas Cowboys number one team. Maylene's a huge supporter. Her and Jeff, huge supporter of the show. We got Colleen Cases.
All girls.
All women on
all
that.
Women.
And you talk about, Andy was talking about that 40%.
I couldn't believe that.
Are going to be women down there.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, she loves the Cowboys.
She loves the Cowboys. If you're a female,
Colleen Case.
She will not allow males to get on that site. But you know what? What the hell? If you're a female out there looking for a Cowboy site, get on that one.
And I don't know if you guys have gotten into the whole hashtag thing, but hashtag DC4L, Dallas Cowboys for Life.
That's a
big one. You got Cowboys Nation 88, the Dallas Cowboys group, Cowboy Family for Life. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And all these administrators of these Facebook pages share our show. And that's how come we've grown so big.
How about this? Steve-O? How about you guys reach out to us if you're an administrator, and we'll bring up your show. We'll bring up not your show, but your group on our show there. That'd be great.
That's what we need more of that. We need more fan interaction.
Because I'm in most of these groups, and yep. I'd love for them to chime in and say, hey, mention our group. I will definitely mention your group. Go to our Facebook site, Cowboys Podcast, and leave us a message. I'll gladly answer it.
Yeah, we love to do stuff. And we're going to have a lot more giveaways this year, right? So that I'm pretty excited about all that stuff. And we got a lot of things happening.
It was great having your friend on board.
And here's the best part. Basketball's over with. Hockey's over with. Baseball's in the doldrums of the summer, right?
Well, so it's hot out. I'm winning that. What are you saying there?
Well, I know you're winning. I'm doing pretty good, too.
Yeah.
But the NFL is right around the corner. We're only days away from getting the show going here. So I like to special thanks to Andy Albert for coming on.
How great was that?
He's awesome.
Awesome.
We're hoping.
The guy is like us, you know. Yeah. He's a fan of the game. And he even said, There's guys that I have not talked to after this fantasy because of bad deals or he didn't trade or anything like that. He's just like
just
us.
Like us, yeah.
Right. So the important thing is, guys, the 2017 National Fantasy Football Convention is happening July 14th through 16th down there in Dallas, Texas. It's going to be big. I think we're gonna be popping off a lot about this over the next month, and probably after the month after that, because hopefully we'll be down there in some sort of way, shape, or form with the podcast crew. Right now, we have tentative plans, right, Jono?
Right.
Is that what?
That's what we're talking.
The
right
GM's
now.
Working out.
That's what it said in the yearbook, Jim.
That's what it said in the yearbook. And remember, when you get on the gonffc.com, you want to type in with the coupon code when you register. Either Dallas or Mighty, and it'll give you 20% off your ticket when you register there. And I suggest you register early. I'm sure next year he'll type in Cowboys Podcast, and we'll get some
and
credit.
And that's for the badge.
That's for the
badge. And that badge, I'm telling you, is big, because if you get these players to sign this badge, I'm sure I'm going to see it on eBay and end up buying two of those for about $100 each. So, you know what? It's something to keep for in the future. It's something to keep as a memorabilia.
Right. And the funny thing is a lot of these, when you meet players nowadays, it's not like when you met players 10, 12 years ago, where you go up to them and they, hey, how you doing? And they take a picture with you and you were gone. Now, all of a sudden, you take a picture with these guys and you're tweeting it to them. And you're like, man, hey, Zeke, it was great meeting you today. Huge fan. And Zeke, all of a sudden, he's retweeting it or liking your tweet. That's a big deal in today's social media.
It's not working like I have. I've been going to Costco trying to hope to run into Zeke's mom to
Get me in
still
the door.
Stalking.
I've been walking every aisle with my cowboy jersey for the last 3-4 months now. Nothing. I haven't seen. And then the butcher tells me at Costco, he goes, oh, yeah, she was in here yesterday. I go, well, what the hell? You're supposed to call me. I walk in the aisle 8 with my cowboy outfit. I go, hey, you're a cowboy fan. Yeah, my son, Ezekiel. Oh, really? Maybe we ought to get together sometime.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Jono, you're classic.
Yes.
For those of you that want to follow me on Facebook, it's at Steve-O Jones.
Okay,
I'm at Steve-O Jones on there. So
yeah.
Make sure you get on there. There's a lot of content that I share out as well.
Yeah, and get ready for Rob. Rob's our blogger. I'm sure he's coming up with something good. Nice blogs about the Cowboys. And, again, we're headed to California. Our guys are. And now things are going to get a little interesting here. No more playing around. They're going to start cutting players now. So it's going to be good.
Now it's time for business.
Business time.
Yep.
All right, my friends, from Jono, Steve-O, and Rodney over there, we appreciate all the love, and we'll catch you next week.
Go, boys.
See ya.